In a webinar last Wednesday, UCSB's Division of Student Affairs confirmed plans of reduced campus housing for fall quarter. Nearly all housing facilities and dining halls will remain closed this quarter, though guardian scholars, unaccompanied homeless youth, and promise scholars are granted exemption. Mario Munoz, Associate Director of University and Community Housing Services, advised students to not cancel their current housing contract if they wish to be considered for winter or spring housing this year. The contract will be amended to begin on January 3rd, although is subject to change and is single occupancy rooms only. Only 20 UCSB classes have a face-to-face component this fall, leaving approximately 1,641 classes remote. Professors are advised to structure their classes asynchronously, without scheduled meeting times, to encourage equity and access consideration for UCSB students. Winter will likely be online, with some small seminars held in person, all in addition to in-person labs, studio, and field classes. Student Affairs spoke optimistically about the possibility of normalcy in spring, although plans are always subject to change. Dr. Ali Javenbach, Medical Director at Student Health, discussed the surge of cases from August 10th to August 21st. Student Health will test registered students with COVID-19 symptoms or confirmed exposure, regardless of their insurance. Here is Dr. Katia Armistead, Assistant Vice Chancellor and Dean of Student Life, with more details on Student Affairs. In the webinar, you spoke about the UCSB Compact Promise initiative that students will sign to uphold coronavirus-related policies. What's the difference between the Compact and the Promise?
Yeah, the difference between the Compact and Promise, great question. The Promise was created by students, a small student committee led by Lewis, who is in health and wellness, and Francis, who works at the MCC and is the Friedman intern in the Dean of Students office. And together they brought other students in to talk about, it started out as a pledge and they moved it to being called a promise, where they thought a lot about their commitment to UCSB and to taking care of one another. I gave them a copy of a pledge that was created back in 2014-15 after the Isla Vista tragedy, called the I Heart UCSB Pledge. And that was the foundation in which they jumped off from to create this promise. And it's about taking care of each other and taking care of the community in terms of COVID and what they saw they could do as students to take care of one another. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm really proud of what they came up with and I'm excited to push that out with them. And then the compact, that is more of an administrative document and commitment that we're asking for everybody to make. And it's about understanding the practice and policy of being part of the UCSB community, whether you're on campus or off campus. But especially when you're on UCSB grounds, you are expected to wear a face covering. You are expected to keep at least 6 feet apart. You're expected that you're not going to have events. You know, there's actually more teeth to this. It's a more policy. You're basically saying, I understand what is expected of me. Whereas the promise is, we're gauchos. We are part of this community and we want to do this for each other.
Will there be disciplinary action against students who break this?
Obviously not the promise, because that's just a student initiative. When it comes to the compact, potentially, yes. There is policy that's being drafted that we will be pushing out. And yes, it absolutely has some teeth and we can exercise conduct measures if we feel that someone, there's evidence that someone has blatantly disregarded the compact and policy.
How will UCSB enforce the compact?
Just like any policy violation, it would come to our attention and we would investigate, and there needs to be substantial evidence that someone has broken policy. A student is given due process, and so they would go through that before any sanctions were given.
Could you speak a little bit about the newly launched GROW website with equity and inclusion resources?
GROW website is a collaborative effort from the different cultural resource centers and their staff that Dr. N. Burke has cultivated, and the work of Dwayne Mosby from the RCSGD with his tech savviness and able to put websites together. And it's a collection of really important resources to learn more about the different cultures, the history, understanding what racism is, understanding the rich history of oppression for these different groups, and understand that they come from different places and you can't just lump everybody in one big pot. They've put together a rich library of resources for one to go investigate, interrogate, to learn more about, so that we can grow as an individual and have a better understanding of one another.
You mentioned that students are traveling to and from Isla Vista, some who aren't even community members. Since the university does not have jurisdiction over these students, why is this concerning for Isla Vista?
This is concerning because in the time of COVID, we are looking for people to be as educated as possible to understand how COVID is spread, how important wearing face covering is, not holding or attending events. And this is education that we are pushing out directly to our students in various ways. Health and Wellness has done a lot of campaigning, Associated Students, the beloved community. You're going to see nice signage in Isla Vista, but they've been engaging students and fully understanding what responsibility they have to not spread COVID and get each other sick. And that's already, you know, a lot of work. And then when you have this influx of individuals who aren't receiving the same level of education and understanding and taking care of the community, it's really challenging. It's very challenging because they may not be as invested in taking care of the community. They may not have been exposed to the level of education that our students are. They may not be held to the same standards by their institutions if they're students. And so if our students mix with those students and there's not that same level of understanding, that's really challenging and that's riskier.
On August 27th, an email went out discussing collaboration with student organizations to create community mindness. What kind of collaboration has UCSB been doing with student organizations?
So SEAL, Student Engagement and Leadership, formerly known as OSL, along with Associated Students and Health and Wellness, have been specifically working with students, whether they're part of an organization or individuals, just like I talked about Lewis and Francis creating the Promise with students, with support from the Dean of Students. They are working with students to organize virtual activities. So there's things for students to do to fill their time and to meet people, to engage in community in a safer manner than partying. So it's a lot of research, reaching out. It's a lot of resource sharing. It's a lot of providing opportunities. It's a lot of discussions. So it's networking, and it started slow, you know, and now it's gaining some momentum as we get closer to fall, that I'm hoping that students are feeling more engaged and really will feel even more engaged as these organizations are doing even more outreach with these registered campus organizations and individuals.
Do you feel as if student life could go back to normal in winter and spring?
No, it's not going to go back to normal. I'm so sad to say. We have to work really hard to create engagement, to provide opportunities for students to network, to get to know each other, to feel engaged. Even when we get back to campus, it's going to be a quick minute before anything is even close to what we used to have. So that's the sad part. The good part is we're not going to stop trying. We're going to just get even more creative and innovative. And the thing is students have so much to teach people my age who is used to doing things, well, we've always done it this way. Here's such an amazing opportunity for us to innovate, to be creative, to learn from all the good stuff that we can do and move forward in so many other ways. And I think that's going to be really rich and we're going to learn a lot and we'll be able to take some of the really great things that we've been able to do and move that forward to the new normal, whatever that is. But I would absolutely not expect that we would just go back to where we were last fall as a community for winter and spring.
You mentioned that winter and spring will have to be this new normal. Mm-hmm. It also has to be a collaborative effort on the campus. So why should students think about at-risk members of the community and businesses that cannot reopen?
I think that we could all do our part in listening to what the guidelines are. And if that, and part of those guidelines is not attending events. And so our community could not go to a party hosted or at all. And certainly think about if it's an individual that's not part of the UCSB community, being wary of trusting that they know how to keep a party safe or something like that. And also look for opportunities to educate them and to just say no, or this is what I'm gonna do to take care of myself, and look for other ways to engage socially, virtually. When you talk about the local businesses, I think that is super challenging and frustrating and sad. I thought about that when the announcement came that we weren't gonna open up residential halls like we had planned. And I thought about all the businesses in Isla Vista. And, you know, anything we can do for taking out, you know, Uber Eats, whatever y'all use from these businesses would be really helpful. I mean, the thing is that Isla Vista is reflective of the rest of the greater community, Santa Barbara County, state of California, the United States, the world. And there's a lot of casualties, and it's super challenging and super sad. So whatever students can do to support their local businesses in a way that is productive for them and helps them stay in business, that's the safest way possible, is really good. So I hope students are thinking about that. And I'm hoping that there'll be new opportunities. It'll be interesting to see what some of these businesses will be like in the future.
Are students actively using the COVID-19 reporting line that was mentioned in the August 27th email?
Yes, we are getting all kinds of reports. If there's one party going on, we'll get about 10 reports about that particular party. So yes, that information gathering line is very active. So we are learning a lot.
That was Katia Armistead, Assistant Vice Chancellor and Dean of Student Life, on a fall update for UCSB amidst the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information regarding university testing, email ucsb-covid19@ucsb.edu or call 805-893-3113. With KCSB News, I'm Alexandra Goldberg.